You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
From PRX's Radiotopia. Pansies. By the heart. I'm Caitlin Prest. On our last episode, we talked about what it's like to be an effeminate, straight man. And now we're shifting over into what it's like to be feminine in gay man universe. In the last episode, we started out with an assumption. And in this episode, we will too. I'm always really quick to assume that gay people are more progressive when it comes to gender. I assume that gay people have queer politics, and that queer people are beyond all the bullshit that straight people are still stuck in. But that's just not true.
I would say my experience as someone who's spent a lot of the last, 15 to 20 years of my life in queer communities, I find that, in gay male communities, it's often that masculinity is praised while femininity remains suspect.
This is Julia Serrano. She's a gender theorist and the author of the book Whipping Girl, which we used as a guiding light for this season.
Often there's a hypermasculinity that's praised within gay male communities. With regards to gay male personal ads, a lot of times they will outright say no femmes.
There are people who don't want to hook up with someone who is what some call gay acting, which just means faggy or effeminate.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Okay. Let me log on to Grindr.
Black dude looking to suck it. I'm into dudes that smell like a dude. Disease free only, and must be DL attractive and not feminine. No femmes. No femmes.
DDF HWP sane, sexy, private, and discreet is what I am and seeking. If you're a booty licker, I'll bottom no questions asked. Just be very masculine or thuggish. No femboy hooking on this good ass.
Have a private glory hole in my apartment, and I'm offering my mouth as a personal cum dump for those in need. Reserve the right to be selective, 18 to 30, straight white men who are either single, not overweight. Sorry, just my preference.
Total sub, femme, bottom, mature, clean cut, cock, worshiper, hosting in the Metari Hotel tomorrow night. I like all types, but the one thing that is mandatory is that you be extremely masculine. If you're fat, old, or feminine, do not hit me up. I'm tall, masculine, disease-free, and regular.
Not into femme, old, and fat guys. I can't travel, but can host.
I have, pink eyebrows in my profile, and I'm wearing, a cow print hat. I still will get random messages that are like, gay men are looking for other men. Why are you on here? You're fat and gross.
This is Blake.
My favorite things to wear right now, I have these, pink overalls that are, really cute, and I'll wear them with, anything kind of, pistachio colored or, rosy or anything. I don't know. Those kind of, color palettes are, really cool to me right now.
Blake is in his early 20s. He hasn't been in a lot of relationships as of yet. He loves loud colors and electronic music and hanging out with his friends. He works at a skincare store, living outside of Phoenix. The house he lives in is one of those run-down rented places with a million roommates and a mattress on the floor. A while back, he had a really big crush on a guy.
Corey, has, a really, corny mustache, and he just looks like a very, skinny, small version of, what you imagine, who your mom would marry, a stepdad would look like.
The guy's name is Corey.
I actually have a Polaroid. I'm going to grab it real fast. When you keep a Polaroid of your ex-boyfriend, next to your bed. I need to chill. I have this one right here. And then I think I have another one in this little box I'm going to grab. Although that one might bring my emotions to, recollecting.
They spent so much time together that they were basically living together.
It literally would be like weeks sometimes that we would hang out and he would just stay at my house the entire time. And I would like go to work in the morning and he would just hang out there. And then I'd come back and we would just continue doing what we were doing, like watching weird videos and like listening to weird music and stuff. I don't know, just like stare at each other and like say I love you a lot. That was probably the first relationship in my life where I would want to like scream about it and like talk about it all the time and like.
When a super fit, very typically masculine straight guy moved into Blake's apartment, things got tense.
Corey was like lusting after him quite a bit. He was always very sexualized about like straight men. Corey would like talk about Matt a lot and be very interested in Matt and try to be like in the same room as Matt. Like if we went out to dinner or something, he'd be like, do you think Matt's gonna be home? I think that did start to like make me question like my like own femininity and my own like feminine expression. If I was like masculine, then he would like have those same feelings about me. At the time, I think because of like my like immaturity in relationships, I was just really angry. It like boiled our entire relationship down to this one simple thing, which was I wasn't masculine enough. My insecurities in that relationship like consumed me. And that was a point in my life where I was really not in tune with my body either, because I really didn't see a lot of like people with like queer bodies or people with fat on their bodies. You know, I just didn't see a lot of people that looked like me. Me and Corey got along a lot in like what we were interested in. He was still like skinny and he was still masculine, you know, but I wasn't. And so that relationship really like made me look at my body and go like, what's wrong with me? And like, why am I different than everyone else? And like, what am I lacking? After that, it was just a huge cycle. And things kind of fizzled and we would fight, make up. But eventually, like, it just kind of fell apart. Basically, after that, I spent a lot of time just like to myself. It was like a very emotional time. Like I would definitely just like cry in my bed all day and like stuff like that. But it also drove me into like really diving deep into like my online communities and using like Twitter more to like connect with people that I didn't like know.
Through Twitter, Blake connected with his new partner.
His name's Alex.
Okay, this is what I normally do for eyeshadow. I'll take like a brown or like an orangey brown.
This entire look has been brown so far.
Honestly, brown is my go-to makeup color, which is weird because I feel like boys, like people tell boys, like if you're gonna wear makeup, it better be brown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I've just been like, I used to reject that so much. I would never wear brown makeup ever. And now I'm
There's literally no reason for you to like
not use a color because of like a social stigma with that. Like boys are supposed to wear brown. So I don't know.
But I was trying to, I'm gonna wear everything except brown.
Yeah.
Alex dresses a lot more like softer than me, which I really like. He wears a lot more like floral prints and kind of like pastel like colors. He's like a soft cloud.
Like worry about social stigmas because they'll like, okay, open your ears. I like literally just try to like put brown on one.
So me and him have been kind of seeing each other like for a couple months now, and we're in like a non-monogamous thing.
And we're like, what are you doing, idiot?
I didn't call you an idiot.
Were you thinking it?
No, I wasn't.
You were.
You out of that part. I'm not mean. I am not mean.
It's really nice because when we're like in a like sexual situation, I'm not looking at myself ever. Like I'm not like feeling like I'm lacking anything, or I'm not really like self-conscious. I just feel very like I'm more concerned with him and he's more concerned with me, and that's a good thing. I feel like you should be like more concerned with like your partner than yourself. But I feel like when you're in like a sexual situation where you're like not comfortable and don't have a lot of communication, you tend to just like notice your own body a lot. And so yeah, his like hair feels good and his like skin feels good and like his lips feel really good, and I notice him, not me. Like, I'm not concerned about myself.
I feel like people do that to girls anyway, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm lucky because I'm a guy, and if I don't wear makeup to work, they just go like, oh, no makeup today. Like, cool, that's cool, too. But, like, if a girl doesn't wear makeup, they're like, oh, my God, are you hungover? Are you tired? Blah, blah, blah. Like, especially, I don't know, like, girls who, like...
Yeah, I know. Like, especially with, like, guys and everything, it's, like, more like a form of, like, self-expression. You can do totally whatever you want, and with girls,
yeah,
kind of, like, expected, I feel.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Alex and Blake are what you might call a femme-on-femme relationship.
No. That's
but... Totally makes sense. It's like, I mean, it's like... A lot of people aren't really ready to accept that.
Yeah, my grandparents are my closest family to me. They live in my area. I haven't known my grandparents my entire life. They're pretty much all I have as far as family goes. They've gotten to know a lot of my partners in the past. I actually make it a point to like have them meet anyone I'm like seeing. So when I brought him to go meet my grandparents, we just were going to go out to lunch. And when they met him, and my grandpa was just like drilling him, they brought up one of my older partners who was a little bit more masculine, had like kind of a more full beard and like stuff like that. And they were like, we remember how like much you liked him and how much you got along with him and stuff like that. And they just kept bringing up things about like this old partner I had that I haven't seen in like forever. Finally, like clicked in my head that I think they didn't trust my current partner because he's the most like feminine presenting partner I've had them meet. And when we went home, we decided like he doesn't have to be around my grandparents and stuff. So the next time I went to my grandparents' house, they kind of brought him up and they were like, hey, are you still seeing Alex? And I was like, yeah, kind of like we still have like a thing going on. And they were like, don't you think he's kind of like, you know? And I was like, what do you mean, you know? Like, what do you mean by that? And they were just like kind of dodging the subject. And I was like, I really want to know what you guys mean. And they were just like, doesn't he look a little bit like effeminate, like not very like manly? Like, what do you like about him? I think my grandma was really implying that there was like, that like gay people, there's a man and a woman, like gay person, like who's the man in the relationship? If he was effeminate, then I was the man in the relationship and I'd have to take care of him. It really sucks that like my grandparents like looked at Alex, was like, he's effeminate, therefore he's more similar to a woman, and women are less valuable and less good at things. So why would you choose that? Yeah. And I think that's part of like why, like they can change. I can educate them, but like, why is that my job? They're just being shitty, you know? It made me feel really distant from them. Like it really put me in a moment where I was like, wow, I felt like I was like getting to know these people, but these people do not understand me or like anything about my like partnerships at all. Let me see. Okay, I have one right here that says, what the fuck is on your eyebrows? From December 1st. This guy is 25 and his bio says, the bigger the booty, the better, with two peach emojis. No joke in all caps. Let's see what else. My bio is very like social justice. It says femme, trans, queer, agender only, mask and straight acting, so gross and tired. So I'm very forward about it. I definitely am trying to like weed out the people I do not want to interact with.
While queer communities can and often do an amazing job of embracing diverse expressions of gender and sexuality, a lot of times these notions that femininity is inferior to or weaker than masculinity permeate even queer communities. And that can create a lot of issues for those of us who are queer but also feminine.
If I'm out wearing a woman's top or a girl's shirt, they'll be like, I'm not really turned on by you or by that.
I remember like as I became more and more comfortable with like dressing gayer, he became increasingly less comfortable.
Definitely people will give side eye or talk shit about people if they're, you know, too feminine or have a swish or are not dressed in the right way.
And I remember having this really terrible conversation with him in which he was like, I really don't like the way you dress. I really miss the Fran that wore just, you know, plaid shorts and baggy t-shirts.
There was a party last night that I ended up not going to because I know that that space is a more white gay space.
I hate going to kind of the Chelsea gay bars. It just grows, that whole world really grosses me out.
Even though my body may be legible outwardly to a person, how they would interact with me would not be the way that I would enjoy. I would not necessarily be seen as a trans person, but maybe a feminine gay person, and then having to have that conversation repeatedly with mostly white people and cis men is not like how I wanted to spend a fucking Friday.
But I know in a way that being white, that allows me a lot more safety to fuck up on gender roles. You know, I feel that there's a thing that whiteness can do, and it is shield you from violence for being femme.
I can only feel like sometimes a straight acting gay man, in not all cases, but more often than not, is dealing with some kind of internalized homophobia that they don't is really that know I how think to put towards.
Faggot will never be homonormative. Like, fag specifically is effeminate, is flamboyant, is loud in its queerness.
I love being faggy. I love being comfortable in that. And I would want someone else to be comfortable with that too.
It's fair to ask the question, to what extent is it actually legit to just be attracted to what you're attracted to? Is a gay man's attraction to masculinity just an example of how truly deeply gay for men he is? Does sexual identity have to do with gender, or does it have to do with the kind of junk that you want on your junk? I feel like every time you go deep on gender things like this, you realize that the categories need to be less rigid. Hence, gender fluidity, or being non-binary, or genderqueer, or trans, but not F to M or M to F. But still, what we're attracted to and what we think is sexy has a lot to do with what is privileged culturally and socially. Conforming to the gender role of the gender that you're assigned at birth, for example, affords you a certain degree of power. Being a masculine cis man affords you a certain kind of power. Power is attractive. People want to be powerful. And people want to be dating someone who's powerful. If we were to dissolve a lot of these categories, then the power would start to be distributed along different types of lines.
Like, you can be exactly who you are without claiming male as a gender identity and without claiming that space in, like, the power structure that is gender. Just, like, abandon it. Just abandon it. Like, you don't need it. Which gets, again, it gets super thorny when I go into spaces with other trans men because they're really, really attached to maleness, and that's valid.
Definitely valid. But what if, for one second, we imagined a world where gender was treated like one big cosmic joke? Julia Alsop, our producer in residence for the season, dreams of what she calls
queer femme fag heaven. Queer femme fag heaven. Queer femme fag heaven.
My queer femme fag heaven.
I just bought a pair of overalls, and I'm discovering that, like, overalls are, like, the greatest item of clothing ever created.
I had a dream once, and that dream was a big feminist sleepover in the sky.
Gender is fucking funny, man.
So I think in a queer fag heaven, everyone would be required to wear overalls 100% of the time, and maybe, like, nothing else.
And it'd be nice to be able to laugh at it without being afraid of, like, actually being physically harmed, you know? Like,
it's a place where there are no genders and every gender. It's like a Zen cone where there's no man's, no woman's, just freedom.
Lots of rosé. There would be a shameless and unabashed, like, dancing to, like, Ariana Grande music dance videos. Gosh.
It's not that we reject masculinity, it's just that we reject the binary that privileges it.
Do what you want to do day in, day out.
Code on, she was like, no, you can't be leaving right now. Do you want to fuck me right now?
Be able to fuck who you want to fuck.
And I fisted her on the dance floor.
Be attracted to lots of various types of people.
Black nail polish, pink nail polish, any kinds of nail polish.
Fucked ourselves to sleep, fucked ourselves awake again the next day.
Lots of glitter, like
letting me, like, connect to people that don't subscribe to this, like, binary, and people who don't have, like, the male gaze. Like, it makes me feel really good, and it makes me feel really, like, optimistic about life.
Throughout the season, I've been trying to figure out what the most inclusive and progressive way of thinking about gender is. Some people are working to expand the language around gender. Some people say that there are as many genders as there are people. It's like the amazing Crayola crayon boxes that have 96 colors instead of just 8.
where there are 14 different names for the color red. Like, why be just red when you can be razzmatazz or wild strawberry or blush or maroon? And then there are a lot of people who are like, fuck the genders. I saw someone the other day wearing a t-shirt that said, gender is over. What would that be like? Another question that I leave with you to mull over until our next episode. In the next two stories in the Pansy season, we're going to talk to people who abandon the idea of being one or the other and embrace both and neither at the same time and never. This episode was produced by Julia Alsop with Mitra Kaboli and myself, Caitlin Prest.
Queer Femme Fag Heaven.
Julia Alsop is our producer in residence for the Pansy season. Special thanks to Julia Serrano, author of the book Whipping Girl. We have special editorial advising on this series from the incredible Cassie Wagler. Thanks to The Thoughts for reading our Craigslist ads.
That was butched up.
That was butched up.
That was pretty butched.
I'm proud of you.
It comes out once in a while.
Physically ill.
Oh, they were disgusting.
That was really, I was not prepared for that.
Please check out their podcast, Food for Thought. That's spelled T-H-O-T. It's launching February 1st. The Thoughts are Fran Tirado, Joe Osmondson, Tommy Pico, and Dennis Norris. And thanks to Image Object and Elroy Red for talking sex, gender, and mess with us. Also, very special thanks to all the folks who have sent us love, pictures, and anecdotes since launching our Pansy season. Please keep it coming. And tweet at us, Instagram at us, all the things online. The Heart is Caitlin Prest, that's me, Mitra Kaboli, Phoebe Wang, and Jen Ng. You can support the show by buying an amazing limited edition Heart poster or t-shirt. Follow us on Instagram and see the shenanigans of our day-to-day lives. Thanks to the Knight Foundation and MailChimp for their support of the podcast revolution. Thanks also to AdZerk.
Radiotopia from PR.